Thanks, Joy. That's an amazing passage of Scripture, isn't it? There's so much in there. We're just going to look at one little part of it today. Verses 23 and 24. As Joy read, time's coming. It's here right now. When the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, the Father's looking for those who will worship him that way. For God is spirit, so those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. God is spirit. God is invisible as opposed to the physical nature of us humans. If you flip back to chapter 1 and of John, and look at verse 18. We read there, no one has ever seen God, but the unique one, the one who is himself God, the one who is near the Father's heart, he has revealed God to us. We've already been looking, as we've gone through these early chapters of John, of the contrasts that Jesus is bringing out. We started, remember, with the true Israelite as against the religious Israelite, Nathanael as against the Pharisees. We saw how the ceremonial water for washing at the wedding was transformed into the wine of the Spirit, as Jesus uses that as a sign of the Spirit, is really what I should have said. That same chapter goes on to talk about the physical temple. They demanded a sign, you remember, of why Jesus did these things. When he came to the temple, he saw that it had been turned into a business model. He empties it all out and raises up this contrast of what the temple really is to be about, and that is prayer and worship. When they demand a sign of what authority have you got to say these things and to do these things, he then talks about, will you destroy the temple? If you destroy it, I can raise it in 3 days. And the contrast there between the physical temple, the time and the space of worship, contrasted with the inner temple, because he was talking about his own body, and we looked at the scriptures about the other temple, not the time and space, but the one that is within us in our own relationship in the sanctuary with God. And then in chapter 3 last week, he's contrasting between physical birth and the spiritual birth. And here in these early verses of John 4, as he's talking to this lady, he's contrasting between just the water of the well, the ordinary everyday water that our bodies need to survive, contrasted with the inner, a spring that is bubbling up within us, and talking about the living water that he can provide. And flowing on from that, it's natural that their conversation goes on to worship. For worship is our response to everything that God is. The time is coming, indeed it's here now, when true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. God is spirit, so those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. Whenever you find a must in Scripture, it obviously is talking about something that's much more than a nice option, much more than just an aspect of something. Worshipping in spirit and in truth is an absolute here. It's the absolute essence of what worship is. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. In spirit. He's not talking about the Holy Spirit here. He's talking about our spirits. Worship is that which comes from within. In the same sense that he raised the contrast of an inner temple, or not the physical temple, in the same way that he has raised the contrast between physical water and spiritual water, or living water, in the same way that he's contrasting our physical birth with then another birth that is to come, where we're born from above, where we're born from the Spirit, when we're born again in that John 3 passage. Now he's talking about a worship that is different to what they had seen, or a worship perhaps that was underneath, behind, within the shell of what they were involved in as they went to a place at a particular time to worship the Lord. Our worship is to be inner worship. It's not about inner instead of outer, but it begins with the inner. And then from the inner it flows out, not so much the other way around. And of course, if we know the Old Testament, if we had time to go back to Isaiah, many passages there where God uses some of the strongest language in the Old Testament about how he hates their gatherings for worship. He detests their offerings. He wants to just spit it out. He can't stand the smell of it, of the smoke going up. And yet, he was the one that instigated some of those outward signs. But what turned his stomach was that their heart attitude wasn't right. And so they were just relying on all the externals and weren't thinking about what was going on within them in their own worship with the Lord. So we must worship in spirit. That's talking about not external conformity, but an inner heart attitude. We must worship in spirit, and it says, and in truth. When we're worshiping in spirit, we are worshiping the true God. And we need to make sure that it is the true God, that that is our focus. That we are worshipping in line with the truth that we know of God. No one has seen God at any time. But the unique one, the only begotten, your translation might say. The unique one who is himself God, the one who is near to the Father's heart, the one who knows the Father, the one whom the Father knows, the one who is one with the Father, he has revealed God to us. And so when we worship in spirit and in truth, we are worshiping God as Jesus, as he's revealed in Jesus. So it isn't what happens in the time and space of our physical everyday world, it is what's happening every moment that we live as a follower of Jesus. We may find it helpful to gather together on a Sunday to worship with other believers, and that's the overflow of the worship that we have been involved in all through the week. And as we worship and meet together and worship corporately, then that overflows into the week that then flows on from that. It's what's happening every moment of our life. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. Like the psalmist says, the words of our mouth and the meditations of our heart are saying the same thing to the Lord. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you, Romans 12 says, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all that he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behaviour and customs of the world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way that you think. Worship is our response to God. He's always taking the initiative in our lives. And as we respond to him, we respond from within. But as we respond from within, that flows through all of our body, soul, and spirit to him. And our life becomes worship. We live our worship. This in line with who we know God to be. I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind that he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Let's sing our last song, which challenges us in these areas.